China summit looms as Trump signals shift that could roil global markets. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, Donald Trump is visiting China for the first time since 2017, with a delegation including Tesla CEO Elon Musk, Apple CEO Tim Cook, and Nvidia CEO Jensen Huang. JP Morgan analysts expect the summit to produce a framework for further negotiations without a comprehensive trade deal, with China agreeing to purchase significant volumes of soybeans and agricultural products. The summit agenda covers Iranian oil, rare earth supply chains, and tariff regimes, carrying more direct consequence for institutional portfolios than any bilateral meeting in years. The first visit by a sitting U.S. president to China since 2017 opens in Beijing on Thursday, and the agenda, spanning Iranian oil, rare earth supply chains, and a contested tariff regime, carries more direct consequence for institutional portfolios than any bilateral meeting in years. Donald Trump and Xi Jinping convened for a two-day summit in China with a delegation that includes Tesla CEO Elon Musk, Apple CEO Tim Cook, and Nvidia CEO Jensen Huang, according to a White House official cited by Business Insider. The presence of three of the most market-sensitive technology executives on the planet signals that this summit is not diplomatic theater. It is a capital negotiation. Analysts at JP Morgan wrote that they expect an agreement on the framework for further negotiations without a comprehensive trade deal, but that China would agree to purchase a significant volume of soybeans, agricultural goods, Boeing aircraft, crude oil, and natural gas in order to preserve the current tariff status quo. Ken Mahoney, CEO of Mahoney Asset Management, told Business Insider he expects any agreement to solidify an ongoing tariff truce, maintaining what he characterizes as a trade war stalemate. The low bar, Mahoney argues, cuts both ways. It creates room for a surprise to the upside, and markets have already begun pricing that optionality. Russell Rhodes, a finance professor at Indiana University with decades of buy-side experience on Wall Street, told Business Insider he holds low expectations heading into the summit. They may agree to a lot of things, but does that lead to follow-through? That's my biggest issue with all of this. His skepticism is grounded in precedent. In 2020, China signed the Phase 1 trade deal with the United States and did not fulfill the purchase commitments it contained. The stakes extend well beyond the bilateral relationship. U.S. courts have ruled that Trump's tariff levies are illegal, creating a structural overhang on trade policy at the precise moment the two leaders are attempting to negotiate a durable framework. Whatever emerges from Beijing will be tested in American courtrooms as quickly as it is announced in press conferences. The Strait of Hormuz problem: oil markets are already pricing in the risk the Iran war is the variable no summit communique can resolve cleanly. Citi described the conflict as overshadowing the summit itself, noting the meeting was already postponed because of it. Rush Doshi, director of the Council on Foreign Relations China Strategy Initiative, framed the tension precisely: the U.S. Navy is blockading the Strait of Hormuz and intercepting tankers bound for China, while Beijing is providing political and possibly intelligence support to Tehran, and could be seeking to renew flows of drone parts, air defense equipment, and missiles. Iran is China's largest crude buyer. The blockade creates an energy security crisis in slow motion for Beijing. China has responded by drawing on strategic oil reserves and rotating toward alternative suppliers including Russia, coal, and domestic solar capacity. That diversification provides insulation in the near term, but Citi acknowledged it is not sustainable if the conflict extends. The investment implication is direct. Brookings China Center fellow Scott Moore stated that Trump's success at the summit should be measured to the extent that China agrees to purchase U.S. energy, as opposed to continued purchases from Iran, Russia, and other U.S. adversaries. A Chinese commitment to buy American LNG and crude oil would redirect capital flows in the global energy complex, benefiting U.S. LNG exporters and weakening the Russia-China energy corridor that has deepened since 2022. Citi assessed it as unlikely that China will help the U.S. militarily or publicly side against Iran, but flagged the possibility of Beijing quietly adding to the economic pressure on Tehran while the strait remains closed. A quieter Chinese pivot on Iran, even without a formal announcement, would be the most consequential outcome energy markets could receive from this summit. Key risk: Brookings fellow Jonathan Zinn noted that Beijing could argue restoring tariff levels to pre-truce rates violates the existing ceasefire, opening a renewed escalation cycle. A breakdown in tariff negotiations, combined with continued Strait of Hormuz disruption, represents the tail scenario for global risk assets. Rare earth minerals: China's systemic lever over U.S. technology supply chains. The rare earth question is where geopolitics intersects most directly with technology equity valuations. China dominates rare earth production at every stage, from mining through refining. The United States relies on imports for the bulk of its rare earth mineral supply, and China accounted for 70% of those U.S. imports in recent years, according to the United States Geological Survey. CFR senior fellow Heidi Krebo-Redeker stated that rare earth dominance, once a niche industrial advantage, is now a systemic lever of geopolitical influence. The AI boom has concentrated that leverage further. Rare earth minerals are embedded in smartphones, EV batteries, wind turbines, AI chips, and magnets, meaning any supply disruption cascades across semiconductor, clean energy, and defense supply chains simultaneously. The Trump administration has taken concrete steps to reduce dependency, including creating Project Vault and pursuing supply agreements from non-Chinese sources. Rare earth considerations also featured in U.S. positioning on Greenland and Ukraine. Some form of rare earth agreement could emerge from the Trump Xi meeting, but analysts quoted by Business Insider did not include it among baseline expectations. For institutional investors, the absence of a rare earth deal is itself a market signal. It would confirm that China retains its structural leverage over U.S. technology manufacturing for another cycle, keeping supply chain risk premiums elevated across the semiconductor and defense equipment sectors. The Board of Trade mechanism, enforcement architecture, or political theater? The most structurally novel element of the summit is the proposed creation of a Board of Trade, a body comprising senior officials from both countries designed to oversee implementation of any agreements reached. The Center for Strategic and International Studies outlined the rationale. Trump, recognizing China's failure to fulfill the 2020 Phase 1 commitments, is attempting to build institutional accountability into this round of negotiations. The Phase 1 precedent is the correct reference point. China signed purchase commitments in 2020 and did not follow through. The Board of Trade is designed to make non-compliance visible and attributable in a way that the Phase 1 framework was not. Whether the mechanism has teeth depends entirely on enforcement design, and those details were not disclosed in the source material reviewed for this article. Goldman Sachs indicated it expects trade to be a key focus of the U.S.-China talks, consistent with J.P. Morgan's expectation of a framework agreement rather than a comprehensive deal. The parallel macro backdrop adds complexity. Kevin Warsh won Senate confirmation to the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in May 2026, placing him one step closer to replacing Jerome Powell as Fed chair. A shift in Fed leadership toward tighter monetary policy orthodoxy, at the same moment U.S.-China trade architecture is being renegotiated, would compress the window for risk assets to absorb any summit-related volatility. Gold flows and tokenization, the parallel capital reallocation already underway while the summit agenda dominates headlines, two concurrent capital market developments frame the broader 2026 investment environment for institutional allocators. U.S. gold exports surged to record levels in early 2026, with monthly export figures reaching as high as $8.0 billion in February, up from $4.60 billion in January. Across all of 2025, U.S. gold exports rose by nearly $50 billion compared to the prior year. Central banks globally are accumulating gold at the fastest sustained pace in roughly 50 years, with 16 countries adding reserves for 16 or more consecutive months. The 2022 precedent that dollar-based assets held abroad can be frozen, while physical gold cannot, continues to drive sovereign reserve diversification away from U.S. treasuries. That trend is structurally bearish for dollar demand and reinforces the case for real asset allocation in institutional portfolios. On the technology infrastructure side, Broadridge Financial Solutions announced on May 12, 2026, that its platform now supports tokenized equities, funds, alternative assets, and money market instruments across trading, order routing, and post-trade operations. The company's distributed ledger repo platform currently tokenizes more than $365 billion in assets daily, while its broader infrastructure supports more than $15 trillion in securities transactions per day. Separately, data from RWA XYZ shows tokenized real-world assets distributed on blockchain networks have grown to more than $32 billion, with tokenized U.S. Treasury products alone reaching nearly $16 billion in distributed value. The convergence of gold reserve diversification and tokenized asset infrastructure points to the same underlying thesis: institutional capital is building redundancy against dollar system concentration risk. The Plaquemium view the market is treating the Trump Xi summit as a binary event, deal or no deal. That framing misses the more durable investment signal. The structural outcome that matters is not whether China agrees to buy American soybeans or LNG in the next quarter. It is whether the Board of Trade mechanism acquires enough institutional weight to alter Beijing's behavioral calculus on trade commitments over a multi-year horizon. China failed to follow through on Phase 1 in 2020. If the Board of Trade is designed as a visibility mechanism without sanctions authority, the same failure mode is available in 2026. The rare earth dynamic is the cleaner investment call. China controlling 70% of U.S. rare earth imports while the AI compute build-out accelerates is a supply chain vulnerability that no single summit can resolve. The Trump administration's Project Vault initiative and efforts to diversify sourcing are multi-year programs. In the interim, companies with rare earth exposure in their supply chains, particularly in AI hardware, defense electronics, and EV manufacturing, carry unpriced structural risk. The energy angle is more interesting than consensus acknowledges. A Chinese commitment to purchase U.S. LNG and crude, even a modest one, would represent a redirection of capital flows that could persist beyond any single administration. Combined with the Strait of Hormuz blockade reducing China's access to Iranian supply, the incentive structure for Beijing to diversify its energy sourcing toward the United States is real, even if public acknowledgement is politically constrained. The parallel gold export surge and tokenization build-out reinforce a broader theme: institutional capital is not waiting for geopolitical resolution. It is constructing architecture for a world in which dollar system dependencies are reduced and settlement infrastructure is distributed. The summit outcome, whatever it is, accelerates that reallocation rather than reversing it. Plaquemines position: a framework agreement with Chinese commodity purchase commitments will be announced. Markets will rally on the headline. The durable trade is not the rally. It is the structural positioning in U.S. energy exporters, domestic rare earth processing capacity, and tokenized settlement infrastructure that benefits regardless of whether Beijing follows through on the paperwork. The bottom line: the Trump-Xi summit is the most consequential bilateral negotiation of 2026, and the outcome is uncertain precisely because the enforcement mechanism that would make it durable has not been designed in public. JP Morgan expects a framework, not a deal. Goldman expects trade to dominate. Mahoney expects the low bar to create upside optionality. Rhodes expects follow-through to fail again. The actionable takeaway for institutional capital: position for the announcement bounce, but hold the structural trades, U.S. LNG, rare earth processing, and tokenized infrastructure, that perform regardless of what happens in Beijing. The summit is an event. The supply chain decoupling is a decade.